This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is, and you are, Down the Dog.
Oh, yeah, how lovely. Go on. No, don't let my reaction knock your confidence. I love it when you do something new. It really keeps our relationship fresh.
You are, and we are, Down the Dog, and I'm Matt Ford, and this
Oh, no, you've gone too far, no.
Oh.
Too much, you see, too much change at once.
Do you know what? I was trying to get a more breezy, chatty start. I feel like I introduced this podcast like it's the news. I'm like, hello and welcome to Down the Dog with me, Matt Ford.
And with tonight, the weather, it's John Richardson. It's shit and it has been for months. It's tricky, isn't it? Because you do want to start it because the premise of this podcast is we're all just mates meeting up in the pub. It feels like that should be the vibe of the opening. But equally, you know, when I listen to podcasts, and I do sometimes listen to other podcasts, not very often, I've got to say, not my bag, but thanks for tuning in. I like it when they say, like, the episode number at the beginning, because it feels clean to me. Well, I'm a little freak, aren't I? I've still got the catalogue book of the VHSs I had as a child. That's the sort of nutter you're dealing with, and I don't think we should give in to that. But it does, it's nice when they say, you're listening to episode 376 of Don't Fucking Stoma, and then I know exactly where we are then.
But I don't think the episode number's relevant. Also, your phone will just tell you. It naturally organises and catalogues them. It's been done for you by an app.
I mean, this is exactly, actually, if you want to start a podcast like you're meeting your mates in the pub, it's this sort of whining, trivial argument that is exactly the sort of thing you would have in a pub, isn't it? You turn up slightly late, everyone's two pints in, and you think, oh, fucking hell, they're already whining. I shouldn't have come.
Do you know what? It's funny being the sober guy, because the other night we had some friends round, and I was the only one not drinking.
Well done.
Because you and I had, well, we'll come on to that.
We've been on a 3-day gackin' e-binge.
But I was just on the Peroni Zeros, and it's really funny watching everyone else just get louder and start talking over each other a bit more. It's very sweet, actually. It's funny. There's something very charming about being the sober one. But you do think, why are you fucking screaming? You don't need to shout. We're in the flat. And the music's just getting turned up. You're like, there's no one else here.
Yeah.
Chill. And
should I tell you how you don't start a podcast? You don't start a podcast by one person asking the other one how they are. And do you know why you don't do that?
Okay.
Because of the opinions of your friend, Gary Neville. I know you love Gary Neville, don't you?
I do, yes.
You want to stroke his hair on the line of his side parting.
I would certainly like to hug him.
And
I think he'd give me a good hug.
Do you think he would? He doesn't strike me as a hugger, and we'll get on to why. I picture you putting the point of your thumb and forefinger at the base of his nose and just spreading them out and stroking down the line of his little moustache while he goes to sleep. Anyway, he doesn't like people saying, how are you? Certainly in text messages and emails. He put a video on LinkedIn saying, anyone who begins messages with the phrase, hope you're well, leads to spending, I don't know, must be about 14 minutes a day answering the question, I hope you're well. I mean, I don't think he's well, is what I'm going to say. If you're going on a rant about people asking how you are, that's a red flag. If you're answering that question so specifically that you know it takes you about 14 minutes a day, that's not a good sign. And also, they don't really mean it, do they? No one's told him, you don't actually say, Gary, yeah, well, I've got this frigging hemorrhoid, aren't I? You just say, I'm fine, hope all's well with the family or some trivia, like we do. Not really bothered, are we?
Well, it's a bit of both, isn't it? Also, if people say, and I'm one of those people who says, hi, John, hope you're well, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But that's not a question. That's me just saying, I'm hoping you're well. I'm not actually asking how you are. If you say, how are you?
If you're not well, tough shit.
And all that is just, it's just polite, it's just pleasantries, because to start an email, hi John, where's my money?
Yes.
too blunt, certainly for the British. So you just have to just ease yourself in. You pivot. You say hello to the person. Bit of filler that's nice. Hope you're well. Hope you had a great weekend. Something of that ilk. And then here's the business. Where's my money?
Well, you say that. So obviously we had quite an abrupt email from Nick last week, which I think didn't say hope you're well. I think it said, where's my fucking six music pen?
Yeah.
Well, I can reveal, Nick, that pen is now in an envelope with some other items signed by both of us. It's yet to be sent, but it's closer than it's ever been to you, Nick. But it has prompted another email from Rob, who again does not say hello and he does not say how are you. He says, as you know, I was promised the six music pen. Granted, this was after Nick was also promised it. Nick had a grumble, and you said you were going to send me a load of your old shit from your single days in Swindon, and Matt was going to send me a box of crap. Quite frankly, this has been the biggest thing going on in my life for many a year. I've deliberated between either tracking you down and letting you see live the tears you've created, or going straight for the jugular and taking you both to the small claims court. You're lucky you resolved Nick's query so easily on the last podcast. I expect similar service, make no mistake. If there are signed dedicated photos in my care package, I'd appreciate that too. Let's not get the courts involved, lads. On a separate and more human note, so this is perhaps how Gary would like it. You do your business, and then you say, by the way, I hope your cat's gonorrhea is cleared up or whatever. He says, on a separate and more human note, I was gutted to hear what happened to you, Matt. I was expecting a couple of weeks off for recovery following something routine. You're coping amazingly and no doubt being an inspiration to many in a similar situation. Do follow the doctor's advice. Don't fuck your stoma. All the best. Rob, the Worthing Whinger. So maybe that's how you start an email.
Yeah, I like, if you email us, you don't have to ask us how we are. You can be really blunt because it's funny.
Yeah.
Maybe this is, you can email us in the way that you've always wanted to email. We're giving you the chance for free to email hello@downthedog.com and just be as blunt as hell. But I think it then is nice to then, at the end, pivot to the very heartfelt stuff. In a way, because he's been so blunt at the start, he's had to overdo the schmaltz at the end.
Yes.
And has been even more considerate.
Maybe that's what Gary's doing. Maybe that's what, when he's on Dragon's Den and he's turned someone's down, he sends him an email saying, don't come here with your stupid suction pad, bloody wall climbing crap again. And then by the end, he's just in tears saying, I've just been under a lot of pressure at home, you know. I'm picking out a pen now to send to Rob. So shall I tell you what pens I've got?
Yeah.
I'm such a hoarder. It's pathetic, isn't it? You know, when you go through your stuff, just don't throw anything away.
You narrow it down.
We're down to three pens that I've selected for Angry Rob.
Okay.
So given the tone of his email, I received a card from a company called obscenitycards.com. I'll name them because it's their pen. They send out rude cards, like the one you got me a number of years ago. Do you remember getting me a little birthday card that had a picture of a cat on the front? And it said, see this cat, it doesn't give a fuck about your birthday, and neither do I. That's the card you sent me. it's a funny card. Yeah. Very funny card.
But
anyway,
I did care about your birthday.
I know. Well, by the very act of sending a card revealed that actually you're a much better man than that card. That card says you're a piece of shit and you're not. You're just a mean bully.
Thank you.
This pen says on it, this is my stabby pen. Now fuck off. So perhaps you'll like that one.
Yeah. Okay.
This is a lovely pen. Now, this is going to cost me money to post if you choose this one for Rob. It's a sort of workman's pen. So it's hexagonal in shape. It's very heavy. And each of the flat edges is a different ruler. So you've got millimeters, you've got centimeters, you've got inches. It's got, if you lift the top off the pen, it's a little screwdriver. And it also has a spirit level built into the middle of the pen. So that's an actual good pen.
Is it? It sounds like a nightmare. It's a toolbox.
It's very
heavy. Ink in it.
Pen number three says a lot about me. Pen number three is a calligraphy fountain pen from a time maybe 15 years ago when I thought I was going to get into calligraphy.
Hang on, at the age of 26?
I think this was certainly pre-marriage. Although I remember doing a card for Lucy in our early days in calligraphy. So it was probably 10, 11, 12 years ago.
You did the card.
No. I thought, do you know what? It'd be nice to be the guy who, when the card, you see the envelope and it's written in calligraphy handwriting and you think, that's John, that is. He's taken some time there. He's learnt a skill. This was around the time I also, it wasn't the last tour, so it wasn't Old Man. It was the one before that. I thought, I've got all this time on tour. I'm in cars. I'm in my dressing room. Can learn a skill. So I travelled with a ukulele. and did not learn how to play that. I then tried to learn balloon modelling, and I then bought a calligraphy set. It's safe to say I was not in a well state of mind. I was a touch of the Gary Nevilles about me. You ask me how I am, I'm going to fucking tell you, and you're going to regret because it's going to take 14 minutes. But I tell you what, I learned enough calligraphy to write a few cards for people at the time, and they appreciated it. And I learned enough balloon modelling that I can now impress my daughter. So we were on holiday recently, and they were passing out balloons for the kids to play with, and we're sort of near other families. And none of the other dads could make anything, and I made dogs, and all the kids ran over to me and gave me their balloons and said, can I have a dog like your daughter's got? And just for 6 minutes, I was the king of that holiday.
Wow. Because you know what I love about this, John? There's a real turnaround in this. When you're talking about calligraphy, mm-hmm. I think some people will see you as, because you're pernickety and you're clever, but you like us to know that you're clever.
Yeah.
The calligraphy,
which is the only point of it,
seems to confirm a view that actually there's a pretentious element to you, and you're vegan and all that business. And this, if you were fitting a profile, you'd say this guy on paper is a tosser. But then when you add in the balloon modelling and the ukulele, you go, oh, actually, no, he's just a sad bastard.
He's a lonely piece of shit.
He's just trying to find little ways to just augment his existence, a little skill here.
Justify, I think, rather than augment. Do you think maybe calligraphy will make me feel that I deserve to be around people?
Come on, John. People have seen you on Cats Does Count, and they've seen you get six-letter words. You know, you don't need to...
son of a gun. I got a 9 on a recently aired episode. Chocolate.
Love
to say it like that. Chocolate. I think maybe one day I'll be the calligraphy killer. I'll sort of murder people, and then they'll be the notes will be written in exceptional handwriting. I've sort of outed myself now, so if I ever do that, people will go, oh, it's that little fella who used to be on telly.
Well, they think it was a copycat. They'll be like, oh, someone listened to Down the Dog and inspired them to not just kill, but Khalil.
The calligraphy copycat killer.
Whoa.
So what pen should I send, Rob?
I think the sweary one. I think that's on brand. I actually don't think the workman's one is useful at all. I think it sounds cumbersome and lame.
I'm secretly relieved, because that means I can still fulfill my promise to myself to become proficient in calligraphy. So I've still got the calligraphy pen. Maybe I'll write him a note in the calligraphy pen to show him what he could have won.
That's nice.
And we'll send him some other shit as well.
It's free to go out and buy one, isn't it? Just to, not that people know that I need to justify this, and I know we're joking, but obviously I've been through a bit, so and lots of my stuff's in boxes because we've been having the house decorated. So, I don't really have any tat lying around. But
you're not sending him anything, that's what you're saying?
Well, not for now. I mean, maybe in a couple of years, once everything's sorted, I'll get around to posting him something, but... at the moment. And also, I can't really bend down. I drop stuff in the shower and it's a fucking night. I go in the shower in the morning, just hit like a thud. A fucking hell. Oh, you piece of shit.
And flashback to your prison days.
Well, I can't bend down now. So there's, you know, I would in one way be protected.
You said that like you were in a prison movie. But I can't bend down, Mr. Boggs.
Mr. Boggs. John, you and I, we rekindled our joy of living together this week.
I saw you in the shower.
Yes, you did. You had to come in because it was motion-activated lights, and because I'm slower in the shower now than I used to be.
Up to what you used to in there.
I have to lean on the wall now.
I can sort of,
I have to like put one hand on the wall. Once I close my eyes, I could fall over. My balance is terrible. So when I'm in there, I'm either leant against the wall or clinging on to the shower, you know, head thing.
Mr. Box.
Really quite sad. But I can shower myself, I would say, pretty effectively. And one thing that you did see me do was pee out of a catheter. How was that for you?
You did show me catheterizing. You asked the first time and I said, no, that's okay. And then you asked again and I thought, I think he wants me to watch him catheterize. So I watched. I watched you stick a pipe up your willy. It was remarkable. It was a very smooth procedure. I was picturing numbing gels and, you know, still some minor discomfort on entry that you were being very brave about. But you slid it right in there. And then all the wee comes out. And it comes out at quite a decent force, actually, because we discussed, obviously, purchasing a super soaker, didn't we, for you to get that thud. But I thought, actually, hit the bowl with quite a good force. And then it came out again.
Yeah,
and then you put it on me as a sort of necklace, and I didn't like that bit. That was degrading.
Held you down. I wanted to, well, what it was, it wasn't necessarily that. I just find it such an amazing bit of kit. I didn't want to freak you out or even make you feel ill. It was purely that I just find it very impressive. So I knew that you didn't necessarily want to watch it go in. But it, also what I thought is, if one day you have to have one of these, I hope I've now done the job of demystifying it for you.
I would say that 100%. Yeah. And I know that through the hospital, that point, obviously the surgery is sort of out of your control. There was a point when you then had to self-catheterize, and I could see it was a moment. And it was one of the few points I felt I couldn't really help you, because I couldn't say anything other than, yes, I wouldn't like to have to do that either. And had we known then that it was like that, I think, so for anyone facing the same thing, it was not as big a deal as it seems to people, I think, who would hear you have to. I don't know. Have you said on this podcast I have to stick a tube up my dick? I can't remember. I can't remember.
I don't know. For some reason, if I were to talk it, I think I would say something like, "Gotta stick a tube down my dick." It's the sort of thing that I imagine. I don't know why I imagine myself in a kind of American cop buddy film. It feels like the sort of thing that a wise cracking cop would say. "Now I gotta stick a tube down my dick." That gives me comfort. But it's not just to say that it's not as bad as it's not bad at all. And also, what's great about the one that I use is it's pre-lubed. I mean, some of them you have to take a syringe and
slop
that down the end, and all that. I mean, you know, horses for courses and all that beeswax. But for me, pre-lubed, and it's just straight down there, dead easy, and the pee comes out the other end. You think, what was I ever worried about? So if you're about to catheter, if at one point in the future you catheterize, hold these words in mind. It's great.
Good.
But it was nice living together, wasn't it? Just 2 days, just knocking about.
We had a couple of days. We had went to the pub, didn't we? And we watched the football.
Yes, we went to Sheffield Wednesday versus Leeds. I mean, we'll come on to all the wonderful details of our special 2 days together. It's definitely one of those things where, because I can move around the flat a little bit better now on my sticks, I think, oh, I'm basically fine. Mm. And then it's only when you go a little bit further, you're like, oh, God, actually, I'm still basically incapable of doing things. So, like, my wife had to drive me halfway, and you had to. It was like you two were my parents when I was the kid.
It was a handover, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then you dropped me off on the way back, and I was like, oh man, I'm making these plans, but actually, I can't fulfill them without a lot of help. So, it did remind me that actually, I still have a long way to go. But what I would say is, once I'm on my crutches and I don't have too far to go, it's not too bad, really.
It was wonderful. And I, from my point of view, it was nice being able to do a few things for you. And, you know, not big things, but, you know, bring you a bowl of cornflakes. It was a nice thing to do. And from my point of view, I actually felt the opposite. I felt like you'd actually undertaken a big journey to come and, well, watch a team win a game of football. Let's not beat around the bush. I think you got a bit of a kick out of that. But I felt very grateful that it would have been easier for you to say, I'm going to have a bit of time in my routine and, you know, stay at home a bit. And you undertook a big journey to come and see me. And I didn't feel at all a chore to come and do the handover at Leicester Services.
I loved it. It was because I think I do have to push myself, because you can get very comfy just saying, well, I'm only capable in the house and around my area. And then I think occasionally you'd have to make yourself a bit vulnerable. You know, I was a bit worried when we were at Wednesday. I was like, oh, God. Having to go to the toilet and, you know, certainly at a football ground, having to go and catheterise. Obviously, we were in a nicer bit of the stadium.
We got looked after, didn't we?
We did, by the wonderful Singh family of Sheffield, Arnie and Indy, who... Do you know what I love? You know what I mean, obviously, we're both absolutely obsessed with football. Is really, I think I've always known this, but moments crystallise it, is that it really doesn't matter where you're from or what status you are or whatever. When you're all sat around talking about football, one, it is a great leveller, but also you're no better than a child when you're talking about it. We are still emotionally kids, grown men. And like men, you know, there were blokes of all ages in that. And in fact, there were kids there more mature than us when they were thinking about how football works. Just like, yeah, but if we win the next one, you're just like, it traps you in this lovely juvenile state of hope. That is, there's something very cute about it.
We had a long conversation, didn't we, about football fans and what people perceive football fans to be based on what they really are. We had a little walk in the park in the morning and met two lovely women who were out walking their dogs. The dog came over to say hello. And they were season ticket holders. They were going to the game. We had a lovely chat. Just really happy middle-aged women teasing. And if you describe to people, oh, we went to Wednesday versus Leeds, I think people who don't really go to football would think, God, I bet that was horrible. I bet it's just local rivalry and angry skinheads throwing sharpened coins at each other. And it's just really, really nice people just having a bit of a distraction for a couple of hours where they sing some songs and Leeds do two goals.
I mean, it's something that is driven us both mad over the years, that the way the country views football fans is basically Danny Dyer.
Yeah.
After about 6 grams. Whereas actually it's families, it's middle-aged, it's mainly very like sweet people going, oh, I think we'll win this week. Yeah, I've got a funny feeling about it. Oh, yeah. I can get a win. You know, there's something very hopeful and very...
I'm a Leeds fan. Oh, you're not, are you? Oh, that's it.
But Leeds were very good. I mean, it's very different to watching the Premier League, John.
Well, make the most of it.
I'm really worried after losing to Brighton.
Yes, and Luton getting that last minute point. And then, of course, decision this week on points deductions. Oh, it is getting tense. Nuno looks very sad. He just looks very sad in the interviews.
I mean, you know, we were at Forest the other weekend. It's a lovely club. You don't wish it. You don't wish it lower league football ever again in its existence. These are good people.
Oh, well, I mean, I can't go that far ever again in its existence. I mean, they could get bought out by some absolute rotters.
But you met Yatesy and Alanga the other week.
Boys. Yeah, absolutely.
These are good.
The team as is a Premier League outfit, and I wish them all the best, and I hope they stay up. And let's just say there are teams I would rather go down, and let's leave it there so as not to upset anyone listening. But there are 4 or 5 teams in and about that mix. And let's say as well, the top 6, I'd fuck them right off. They can all go relegated. But beyond that, I would say there are teams in the mix that I would much rather see relegated than the Nottinghamshire Tree Boys.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. Here they come, the Tree Boys.
They're all Tree Boys.
Heard you're a Tree Boy these days, Jeff.
So on the subject of dogs, these were lovely dogs in the park, weren't they? It was a big dog, but it wasn't at all threatening. And it was one of those dogs that sort of leans into you as you stroke it. Didn't really want a head stroke. It leant in to say, pat my ribs.
You know what I have noticed about how animals have reacted to my predicament?
Oh, yeah.
Is that having crutches, I think, just slightly scared. You know, I'm scared. We talked about this the other week. I think is that if there's an XL bully within a mile of me, it'll sniff me out, bite me and kill me. But I'm convinced that I give off whatever the fear pheromone, if that's such a thing. But because I'm basically four-legged now, I think they think, whoa, that's an exoskeleton. I can't mess with that. You know, the geese, remember when we walked around the pond, the geese were scared of me. And they've always been very confrontational with me.
Yeah, let's not mess about. You were slightly scared of the geese as well. There was talk of going around the lake the long way to avoid the geese.
But that makes sense because geese are territorial. They will attack you. They will, in
sort of young time. I've spent a lot of time around canals, as you know, basically a canal dweller. And my experience having lived in Hebden Bridge is the geese are mostly okay, except in narrow spaces when they have young. And in that case, I have been known to maybe walk half a mile back and cross a bridge and take a much longer route into town because I was hissed at and they did that thing where they spread their wings. And
they're big.
Soiled my panties. I think my daughter is psychic.
Ooh.
So she made me a Leeds United pen at Christmas. She got a pen creator studio. She made me a special blue and yellow one. So I said, Leeds were playing, obviously New Year, a lot of fixtures. I said, can you write down Leeds are going to win today with the magic Leeds pen? She's done it for every game since she made the pen at Christmas, with the exception of 2 games where we either forgot or were away. And that was the Huddersfield game, where we drew, and the Chelsea Cup game, where we lost.
That is incredible.
It's pretty freaky, isn't it? I don't believe in all that stuff, by the way, but it's been a lovely thing for us to share.
So, but hang on, Do you now consciously get her to do it, or is it up to her when she does it? How does the system
work? It's a bit
work?
Of both. It's a bit of both. If we're chatting about Leeds, she'll say, when's the next game? But I will sometimes say to her, oh, like before we left, I'll say, oh, I'm going away. Can you do a thing for the Leeds-Sheffield Wednesday game? And she'll write, and I've kept them all. I've stored them all on top of my desk to prove her powers. And I don't know if we get promoted, maybe I'll send them to Daniel Farker so he can thank her properly for what she's done for the club. And she's, because of the beautiful kit, the lovely, I'm calling it the rhubarb and custard kit. It's a lovely pink and yellow number. We were watching Leeds the other day and she said, who knew Leeds could play in such beautiful colours? And it's been a real gateway into Leeds kit, because when I've offered to buy a Leeds shirt in the past, she has declined, but this one, straight in, straight on.
And name and number on the back?
No.
Good. No. The only thing I would say about that kit, John, having witnessed it live, it's very hard to see the numbers on the back.
Okay.
The too creamy. Also, you know what I found really funny was, obviously when it's your team, you just care about it more, don't you? So I was getting the full Leeds briefing from you during the day, going, oh, Archie Gray, you know, it's always it's fantastic. You know, it just always goes forward. Throughout the whole first half, I think he maybe was on the ball 20 times and passed it backwards every single time. I was like, this is the opposite of what he told me. But as is often the case in these games, the superior team is kind of figuring out the inferior team. And then in the second half, they batter them. And that's basically what happened. And I did see Archie Gray pace numerous forward passes in the second half. I thought, oh, that's my boy.
Well, on that, Andy has emailed to say, I would like to nominate one-year-old Archie. he's actually, I think he's 17 or 18 now. But he would like to nominate young Archie as a pub dog. And
okay.
Given what we've just discussed about, you know, Archie Gray being, I mean, do you know what I loved? We met up and you said, I'm looking forward to seeing Archie Gray live. And you just want to feel like your club's got those players in it, don't you? You sometimes feel like in the Championship, no one's really looking. And we are obviously obsessed with Archie Gray and the whole Gray dynasty thing. It's a great story. But to hear a fan of another club say like, oh, I've heard about Archie Gray. You're like, yeah. I'd like to nominate one-year-old Archie as this week's pub dog, please. He's earned his nomination after showing immaculate patience in the face of adversity / burgers being delivered to nearby tables in the pub. And he sent us a lovely picture of Archie just staring down a biscuit on the, it's been put on the pub table, and he's just waiting. Hold. That's a good dog. You look at that picture, you say, that's a good dog. In honour of Matt and Bags of Shit, he assembled himself recently into squat position and tried to drop a log in the pub, shepherding him through the doors. He then point blank refused to shit outside, despite numerous walks around the block in the rain. Upon return to the pub, he immediately attempted to drop his guts again. He realised then he just resented the game of pub bingo that was being played at the time. £5 entry per round. Absolute disgrace, but that's the Lake District for you. Bingo caller can be seen in the background. Matt, all the best in your recovery. Andy.
That is a great photo. A lovely, cute dog, face rested on the table, melancholic eyes looking at a little, what was probably one of those little gravy bones, the bingo caller stood by the bar on a cordless mic. I can hear the terrible sound quality from here.
Yeah.
God, I tell you what, it is a bit like, I think we all had this growing up. If you needed a poo and you were in town, wherever you lived, you know, the public toilets. Terrible idea, particularly if you're a bloke, but there were shops and places that you would go where you knew. For me, it was Debenhams on Market Square.
Yeah.
And this dog is basically the same as that. It's like, no, I've got my little place where I like to go, and I'm not doing it outside.
Yeah, absolutely. And knows where he wants to shit, does Archie? So Archie is, I'm trying to work out the pub and what sort of area of the Lake District. I might go and stroke Archie the next time I'm in the Lake District if he's around. Looks like a good pub.
So Archie
is the good boy pub dog of the week. And let's have Archie Gray as our good boy of the week.
Yes.
He's a real life good boy.
Real life good boy.
Nobody in Bullshit Corner this week.
No, I think Bullshit Corner, it's fine to leave it empty from time to time. Have you met Archie Gray?
I was very close to him at something which I will talk about recently, but I'll talk about it in the future, because I filmed something at Thorpe Arch, the Leeds United training ground, last week, but it was not my project, so it's not for me to talk about. But when it comes out, unless I've, well, I'll talk about whether I've been edited out or not. I made a brief appearance on something at Thorpe Arch. I got to meet a few of the players. And Archie Gray was watching, so I was within meters of him. And had I not been frightened of professional footballers, I might have run over and shake his hand. I had a very bad moment with Dan James where he sort of walked through an area we were in and I wanted to say hello to him. But he was leaving. And so I just went, "You're a fucking legend." Because he's been excellent this season. And it wasn't, it's not the wording I wanted to use. But nevertheless, that's what I said.
Well, what else are you going to say?
You know, exactly. You've got such a short amount of time.
It's got to be a compliment, hasn't it?
Or oh, yeah, absolutely. And you can't
sort of comedically, you know, right. But then you're not that sort of guy.
Caveat it, can you? I'm 41 and I know you're looking at this weird, so like, I'm not saying like there's nothing sexual about it. Just saying, I think you went to a school with some of my wife's cousins. You just go, "You're fucking brilliant."
So that's it's the best way to handle it.
Yeah.
I can't be. Do you know what? In life, some people play it cool. I think maybe you're slightly cooler than me in terms of how you would interact with people, but not much. I think we're both.
I don't
at.
Think so.
I think we're both at the end where we go, "That was amazing. Well done. Oh, you're the best."
Yeah, that's it. Connor Roberts come over and shook my hand. It was lovely. You just go like a little boy. You feel like it's like when the teacher asks you to deliver a note at school, and you're like, "Oh, I'm in hallowed territory here."
That's a bit sadder.
And with football, you're never going to be as cool as a footballer. So it's not like, do you know what I mean? Sometimes you meet people from other realms and you can play it a bit cool. You know, if you're on like Loose Women or something, and you meet someone from Corrie and you're like, "Well, that's a very cool thing, but I don't watch it, so I'm all right with that." Just accept around footballers, they're gods and you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes, isn't it?
That's the way it goes. And in a way, it's nice to feel like a piece of shit from time to time. It's good to know I am nothing. I am soil. I am dirt. And these people are gods. And I'm actually comfortable being subservient to these superior beings.
Yeah.
Is that too much?
Well, speaking of superior beings, we'll raise our glass this week. We always raise a glass to someone at the end. We don't always do it, do we? But we do it if it's appropriate. And I feel this week it's appropriate. We lost this week Tony Green from Bullseye, the scorer Tony Green, who was on the show from its inception in 1982. 20 million people watched Bullseye when it was at its peak. It was the best thing on telly then. And if you ask me, it's still the best thing on telly now. Late night Bullseye on Challenge, 11 o'clock. Tony passed away this week. It's worth, if you're still up at 11, just stick Challenge on or Challenge Plus One. Watch an old Bullseye. You sometimes get a proper vintage episode. There was one the other week. They won every prize. They won every prize on the board.
Incredible.
And they took over a grand in the early round. And they gambled and lost.
Well, that's always tragic. There was genuine jeopardy on game shows then. I guess Who Wants to Be a Millionaire had jeopardy. But what's great about Bullseye, firstly, 20 million people. That was basically the population of the country back then.
Yeah.
And it's particular voices that you don't hear anymore. It is that kind of 180 sound, that kind of, you know, DJ sound like that back then. And there was a particular way of talking in certain places that has been lost. Like football commentators now are all always trying to be cool. My mate Boyley pointed this out. They always just say the player's name, Mo Salah, every time they're on goal. Mo Salah! And you're like, just, you know, Brian Moore and Motson would lose themselves. "Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's simply majestic." You know, there was a joy that went along with football commentary. And it's all, I don't know, it's colder now. And I want it to
be warm.
Do
you know, I noticed that this week watching Gladiators, trying to get my daughter into Gladiators so we can watch it together. There's a thesis to be written on the reaction of Gladiators contestants of the 90s against now. And I remember the joy of Gladiators. There was the fake beef, of course. There was, you had Wolf and people like that, didn't you? And there'd be a bit of handbags. But what you had mainly was contestants skipping about, jumping, punching the air.
John,
oh god,
there's a knock at the door, and I think it's my catheters. Hold on.
Okay. Catheter delivery live.
Hello, how you doing?
Oh, that was brief. That can't be his regular poster. Always got more of a chat for his regular poster. That'll be some sort of DPD, I think. Someone he doesn't know. Here he comes.
Oh,
heavy.
I'm back. It was my catheters.
Was it?
Yeah, big
job. And who was
job,
that delivering?
Who was it?
Yeah.
It was a guy.
Yeah, not someone you knew, though.
No, why?
No. I was just commenting that you've always got a bit of banter with your poster, but that was quite short and sweet, so I was speculating of some sort of DPD driver that perhaps you didn't know personally.
Yes, correct analysis. So from Royal Mail, the two postmen around here are Dave and Sav.
to quality men and very high quality postmen. That was a gentleman from APC who I've never met before. There was a lovely guy who used to do DPD around here, and he was so chirpy. And we'd have a lovely chat, but that guy was not really keen to talk, and I wasn't gonna keep him.
Yeah, you're podcasting. He's got other packages to deliver.
Yeah,
fucking have it, right?
Exactly. But it's such a relief when they come, because there's always a slight fear when the stock is running down. And as you'd imagine, John, I always order well ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But if they just say, "Oh, there's been a bit of a delay getting it authorized by a pharmacist," or "Oh, we can't get it to you till next week," you're like, "But I need to stick it to that man, dick." But now the tubes have arrived, so I can stab them down there pain free, and I'm now a happy boy.
Yes, that's all we've got time for this episode.
Remember to get in touch, hello@downthedog.com, with any reaction to any of the things that we've asked you about, but also just get in touch about anything. We're all mates, we're all in the pub together, and don't forget to go to Another Slice. And for the love of God and your own body, share the podcast, subscribe, leave a 5-star written review and tell everyone about it.
Don't get up the cat, get down the dog.
And don't fuck your stoma. Bye.
Bye.